You know, one of the things that I do here, and you may not like it, but part of my role here is to challenge you to think bigger, to live bigger, to stretch yourselves, to challenge you. And I think today that'll probably happen. And you're going, oh no. But see, when I get challenged by God, then I come in here and challenge you. Because we're in this together. But John 3:16 is just an amazing verse. It's the heart of the gospel. It is the gospel. It's the heart of God, His heart towards us. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son." Aren't you glad today?
Yes.
That He did that. "That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And what that means is that when we die, we go to heaven and eternity. How many know eternity is forever? This life is but a vapor. And God thinks so much of us that while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. While we were yet sinners, He made a plan to save us and to provide the way for us to live the abundant life here while we're on the earth, but to live with Him forever in eternity. In Ephesians, it says that He wants to show His kindness and generosity throughout all eternity. And, you know, and sure, there'll be us, we'll be worshiping Him, but He wants to be blessing us, and that's His heart for all of eternity. Verse 17, "God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." So a couple things we need to know here is God's got great love for people. Great love for people. And over in Timothy, it says He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. See, God is a father, and He desires a family, and He wants one of the greatest families in the world, you know, ever. He's assembling just an amazing family, and He's got that heart. And He wants His family to live. He wants His family to have freedom. He wants His family to be blessed, to have peace, and to have joy. But isn't it interesting when God saw the great need in the world for His love and for His goodness, isn't it interesting that somebody had to go? Isn't it interesting He had to send somebody? It wasn't just going to happen because people acted good or played nice. You know, He had to do something about it, and He ended up having to send His own Son. Which is amazing for a father to do that. I mean, I just can't comprehend. And, you know, the closest story we have to that is Abraham sacrificing Isaac. And Abraham, he raised the dagger ready to sacrifice his son. Isn't that amazing? And then just at that moment, God stopped him because he counted it that in his heart he had done it. And God needed a man in order to do what He wanted to able to do. He had to have a man in the earth to establish His covenant, and it paved the way for Jesus. And God actually went through with it, though. And I don't understand this. In Isaiah, it says it pleased God to bruise him. I don't understand that. It pleased, but you have to understand the love of the Father to understand. You have to get a revelation of that. He has great love for us, for it to please God to bruise Jesus. Because Jesus died a horrible death. And then to top it all off, not only didn't stop there, the Bible says He just descended into hell. So He was in hell, feeling all that went on there. So, you know, that, I just can't imagine. But, so this gospel is not a passive thing. God wasn't passive about the earth and about people and about people's lives. He had to do something. Someone had to go. And so it's no difference for us today that we've got to do something. We've got to go. God's got a plan for us. And we call this the great commission. Commission means with someone else. With. Co-with. You know, we're with Him in this mission. And this mission's not just for the apostles 2,000 years ago. It's not just for the apostles today, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. We call that the fivefold ministry. It's not just for them. The Great Commission was given to the church. And everybody that is a believer, that has made Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives, is a part of this Great Commission. And so you are commissioned with these words. Now, he said these things, and you can turn over to Matthew 28. But, you know, when you go on a trip somewhere and you got your kids, don't you give them some commands or some orders if they're staying and you're going? When I go out of town, I do a series of emails to various leaders and people and saying, remember this, please do this while I'm gone. And so before Jesus ascended into heaven, there's some accounts of what he said. And in 1 Corinthians it says it was to 500 people. And these are some of the things that he said. First in Matthew 28, verse 18, says this. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go. Everybody say go.
Go.
See, it wasn't passive. It wasn't to wait. It wasn't to wait and see or just to be a spectator. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And see, one of the big disagreements we have in the body of Christ today is, what is a disciple? I think most churches would say that we are to be disciples or followers of Christ. But what does that mean? And I think here at Good News Church, we call a disciple a life giver. So you get some idea of what we think a disciple is. Sure, trained, taught the word, growing in the things of God, a relationship with God, certain things. You know, we did a series on the seven big habits. There's habits that, as a disciple, is discipline. There's at least seven disciplines, and prayer and praise and generosity. But we take it a step further here, because it's something that's been lacking in the church, is that we feel the believers have a vital part to play in what God is doing in these last days, so much so that we're now saying we've done away with the fivefold ministry, and we now say there's a sixfold ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, believer. And there is a huge army of believers that have been taught beyond, educated beyond their intellect, and are not doing any going. And they're not doing anything towards people out there in their world. And we have, you know, and when you have a name like Good News Church, that can't be your mentality. So unfortunately or fortunately, you've got me as a pastor, and I'm taking this to heart. And so that impacts me and affects me, the way I lead and the way I do things and the way this church operates. And of course, it's affected our vision and our mission. That we have a purpose, and I know you don't like it, and people don't like it, and may not come back to Good News Church, but we actually make demands on people. We make a demand on people that we're, you know, certainly people can come here and get their lives restored and get fixed up, but there's a time when you're going to need to go. Amen. And it's a different time for every one of us, and you know, we're all in different places, but eventually, hopefully, you come to the place where you say, I'm going to go, I'm going to be a life giver. I'm going to be a part of the Great Commission. Now let's read over in Mark 16. So Matthew 28 ought to be some verses that, you know, we have in our heart. Ought to be some verses that we're looking at. There ought to be some verses that should challenge us. Some verses that impact us in our thinking, in how we live our lives. If we're co-missioned with him, if we're co-laborers, what are we co-laboring about, and what are we working with him on? But see, there's just many people, then they when they hear these in Matthew 28 and about to read Mark 16, they just think that's for somebody else. Well, I'm here just to tell you today, it's not for somebody else, it's for me. Everybody point at yourself and say, it's for me.
It's for me.
You may not like it. You may not want to do it. You may think it's someone else's job. But I'm telling you today, it's for you. And you are a part of it. Every believer here, you are a part of this. And you need to take it to heart. It's his final things he said before he ascended. His last commands, his last words, really the most important thing he's going to leave for the church. But how many know our priorities can get way off? How many know that we can get lost in religious games? How many know we can get lost in just being a good person? Well, I'll just be a good person. Well, I'm telling you, being a good person is not enough with the job that needs to be done in the world. You know, we're in our churches in the United States, I'll just speak for the United States, you know, 60 to 80% of our people in our cities are not going to church. 60 to 80%. So what does that say then? Who's winning? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of darkness? Now the back of the book says that God's kingdom wins. But in order for God's kingdom to win, the believers have to enforce the covenant. And our believers aren't doing that because, first of all, maybe they don't know. They haven't been challenged. No demands placed. And we're leaving it to the next guy. We can't do that here. We can't do that at Good News Church. We can't leave it to the next guy. We've got to be the guy. And that's what we're saying. We've got to be the guy. We've got to be Jesus in our world. Not asking you to do it all. I'm just asking you to do your part. And everybody's got a part. Every person. And really an important part. Mark 16. Are you glad he came to church today?
Yes.
Mark 16, verse 16. And this is how, because you could think that, you know, based on Matthew 28, that was just for the apostles. But let's read Mark 16 now. This is a part of the Great Commission as well. It's just a different version, Mark's perspective. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go. He who believes and is baptized. Anybody here today believes and is baptized? Will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Doesn't say just follow the apostles. Follow the ministers. Do we have any believers here today? Raise your hand. Everybody say, I'm a believer. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. This is all for the believers. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down on the right hand of God. And then they went out. See, somebody's has to go. Somebody has to go. Somebody has to take the charge. Somebody has to take the mission and go. But if you do, look, they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. You don't have to do it. You just have to bring the word. And the Lord will work with you. And he will back up his word. Now another part, I've just added this. I've never just started seeing it this way. I've always kind of put Acts chapter 1 in a separate category from the Great Commission. But it belongs there because these are the words he spoke again before he ascended. So Acts 1, verse 5 says this, "For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, so you can dance and run around the church." So you can have goosebumps. So you can have more powerful prayer time. So you can feel better. More revelation. Again, this is the last thing he's saying. Now, do we see kind of a central theme here? "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The primary purpose for the Holy Spirit. Who's baptized in the Holy Spirit today? The primary purpose for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to be a witness to people about Jesus. Now you can say amen or you can say oh me. And we can try to run from it and maybe go to another church and, you know, or maybe not go to church, whatever. We can do all these things. But this is the heart of the Father. He is all about souls. He is passionate for people. For God so loved the world. That's how you got here. Aren't you glad? I mean, I had 5 people witness to me before I got saved. I mean, if I could see those people today, I mean, I would just weep and cry and fall at their feet and kiss their feet. Seriously. Changed my life that they thought enough of me and they loved enough about me to share the gospel with me. Lowell Lundstrom, an evangelist up in Minnesota, he's now in heaven. I mean, you know, I was at that crusade and my brother Pat brought me, you know. He didn't even know what he was doing. But I went forward and got saved. People in Campus Crusade witnessed to me. Now, friends witnessed to me. People that cared about me, that loved me. Now, over in John chapter 4, and I think this kind of sums it up here. A couple of verses that sum things up. John 4, verse 35. He says, Do not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. And look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. Yes. Jeremy Gall was working with a church up in Ohio, or a pastor up there, and asking the pastor to get involved in some outreaches that they were doing, and the pastor said that he couldn't do it. He said his church wasn't ready. Did he say it was going to take 10 years? He said it was going to take him 10 years to get his church ready to reach out to people. He's saying 4 months. This guy's saying 10 years. And I tell you, that's just an indictment on the church. That's a summary of the church. Well, what's happened? What's happened? Because if we go back to our roots, if we go back to who we are, the book of Acts, we're an extension of the book of Acts. We're a part of this family that was started after Jesus rose from the dead. You know, these are our people. And these people turned their world upside down. But what's happened to the church today? Why are we so weak? Why are we so powerless? Why are we not impacting our cities? Why are not we not turning our cities upside down? Well, I think I have the answer. It's over in Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, verse 18. And I'll read this from the Amplified. So glad you're here today.
Amen.
So glad I became a member of Good News Church. Oh, the joy. Mark 4, verse 18, Amplified Version. And the ones sown among thorns are the others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age. Our pastors are distracted. Our church members are distracted. They're not living for the cause. They're living for the American dream. And the American dream is nothing. There's nothing at the end of the American dream except wanting more. The distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches. I mean, that just tells the story there. And the craving and passionate desires for other things. We've gotten away from what we think, what God thinks is important. He's got a passion for souls. But the church doesn't have that passion. If we had that passion, our cities would be being changed. Our neighborhoods would be being changed. But they're not, because the passion's not there in the church. The enemy has come in with religion and games and all this, you know, spiritual stuff that means nothing and has no power. And so look what happens. The craving and passion, desires for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word. And what happens? It becomes fruitless. Now my prayer is, here at Good News Church, we're verse 20. We're Mark 4, verse 20, church. Everybody say, Mark 4, verse 20. That describes us. That's who we are. And these sown on the good, well-adapted soil are the ones who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit.
Yes.
Some 30 times as much is sown. Some 60 times as much. Some even 100 times as much.
Yeah.
To sum up my message in a couple sentences here. The main problem I see in the church today is we are looking for God to do something for us. See, He's already done it. But we're looking for Him to do something for us. The big deal with Christianity is He wants to do something great through us. We focused on the blessings, and we need to be blessed. But it's really been selfish. It's really been about me. Where God's not about Him. He's about people. And when the love of God so changes you, and you begin to see this world, and you see the hurt, and you see the darkness, and you see, you know, what's happening in the world, someone's got to do something. Am I going to be a part of the problem, or am I going to be a part of the solution? I'm telling you today that the answer for humanity is Jesus.
Yes.
It's not our government, as great as they are, and the programs they have. I mean, it's not going to save our neighborhoods. It's not going to save our families. It's not going to save our coworkers. Money's not the answer either. Better health care and insurance and I want you to have a home and a car. Oh, that's not the answer. That does not bring peace. It does not bring joy. It doesn't bring purpose for your life. Purpose will get you out of bed in the morning. Purpose will motivate you through any kind of trial. Having a purpose for my life, my existence, why am I here? I want you to have purpose. Are you all supposed to be evangelists? Missionaries going to another nation. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what God's plan is for your life. But all of us are 2 Corinthians 5 says, we're all ambassadors for Christ, and we're all been given the ministry of reconciliation. I know I'm brainwashing you today, but everybody say this, I have a ministry.
I have a ministry.
The ministry of reconciliation.
The ministry of reconciliation.
I am an ambassador for Christ.
I am an ambassador for Christ.
I represent Him.
I am Jesus to the world.
I go about doing good
and
healing all those oppressed by the devil.
For God is with me.
I lay hands on the sick
and they recover.
I speak in new tongues.
I cast out devils.
Instead of telling people,
I'll be thinking about you.
I'm going to pray for them.
I am bold.
I am bold as a lion.
I am a witness.
The Holy Spirit is upon me.
He's anointed me to be a witness.
Bam! We've connected with and take this off the tape, but a short Australian man named Jim Newton. Jim and Jan. Love these people. Oh, you know, 14 hours away. And
time zone,
14. Yeah. I don't know how many miles, a lot of miles. Other side of the world. And through a series of supernatural events, we've gotten connected. So we've come into a partnership, and Jim has challenged us to raise up 1 million believers who will reach 100 million people. I have committed to that. And you look around and you say, There was 500 that Jesus spoke to about the day of Pentecost. There was only 120 in the upper room.
Yeah.
We got more than 120.
Yeah.
It's all about being a believer. But we've committed to this, and we're praying about plans, and we're going to have, and Lord has shown us some things, and we're going to step out on the in this. And we're going to start where we're at. And I did not ask for this. For some reason, Susie and I, we are leaders in this. And I'm not calling it a movement. It's more like a revival of something that's been dead. It's more of a revival. It's not a movement because a movement's end. Movements come and go, but this is not a movement. This is a restoration. This is a revival of things that have been lost in the church that need to be restored. And we, as a body of believers, we are connected and united in this. So whether you like it or not, this vision now has become part of your deal. And, you know, again, it's like, oh my God, you know. But I'm not saying we're these big leaders. I mean, we'd be squad leaders. I don't know what we are. It doesn't really matter. But we're together in this. And we're wanting to raise up life-giving churches in every city and town in the world. And we need to come together on this. And every one of us has got a part in this. And I'm hoping it's not me today. I hope it's the Holy Spirit. I hope the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. I don't want to condemn anybody. He does convict. The Holy Spirit does convict. But I hope that He's speaking to you. And you may not even understand everything. You don't have to understand it. You may not be at the place to say a million believers and 100. You may not be at that place. But can you say, I'll be a life giver? Can you say that I'll pray about this? Can you say that you'll support us as we move forward in this? You're going to be challenged coming up in this area, and I want everybody to take the challenge. The part you take may be different than Neil or Georgette or Trey or Kim or Jenny or Shirley or Emily or Caleb. It may be different. We're all going to take it at different places. Mark 4 said 30, 60, 100. It's different. It's going to be different based on some are just new at it. They've never labored for God. Never even knew they were supposed to. Others have been laboring for years and have won many, many people and ministered to a lot of people. And I want to tell those folks, part of what we've got to do is help those that haven't labored before, help them get established. It's not enough for you just to labor now. If you've done this for several years, it's part of your commission now to help others grow as a laborer, to impart the things that you've learned and share with others. Now, I'm going to close this service today and with some prayer. And it's from Matthew chapter 9, if you want to turn there. I know this is heavy today, but I just don't want you to shirk your responsibility. You've got a part in this. God's got a purpose for your life. Go ahead. Yeah.
I hardly ever do this, but it's just so strong I can't not do it. I just want you to know I don't make a habit of interrupting Matt. Dear Smorning, during School for Life, I was talking about life and the Spirit, and I used the example that as believers, we're learning to follow the Holy Spirit and follow His plans, and the primary way He leads us is by peace. By the peace of God. And it has been occurring to me, and the Lord's been talking to me about the fact that I often tell people, do you need to be learn to live by peace and be led by peace? But there's been a missing piece of that, P-I-E-C-E, a missing link in that, and it is this. Oftentimes, I think when people hear me say that or hear us teach about being led by peace, they're facing a situation where they're making a decision, and the decision is A or B. And we're saying, you need to be led by peace, and they're trying to get peace about A or B. And sometimes people get frustrated because there seems to be no peace. They can't figure out. There's no strong contender. There's no peace going there. And what I shared in School for Life that I had seen is that God has plans for us because according to 1 Corinthians 2, the Bible says, it hasn't seen, ear hasn't heard, it hasn't even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. Y'all remember that verse? And then the next verse says, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Isn't that right? And so sometimes though people are, and all of us are in this boat, we have situations in our lives we're trying to hear from God, A or B, A or B. And the reality is that it's neither A nor B. In fact, it's not A, B, nor C. It has nothing to do with that. In fact, it's way over here and it's something entirely different that's never even entered into your mind. Well, right after class was over, Kimberly McDonald came to me and said, when I said that, the Lord spoke to her and said this, because she was saying, you know, I'm talking and I'm saying it's not A or B, you know, and she said she's thinking, yeah, something even better, like maybe there's some kind of logarithm or algorithm, I don't know which word she used, but a fancy math word, you know, that has to do with A's and B's, and above that, you know, it's something even better than that. So it's not A nor B, it's something even better than that. And the Lord said to her, no, it's not A nor B, nor the logarithm or the algorithm, it's actually pineapple. And she said when the Lord said that to her while I was speaking, she just busted out laughing because she realized that pineapple, it's so different than what's entered into our minds. We think, oh, it's A or B. See, we all have this notion of how our lives should be and what our lives should be and what we should do. Peter was programmed to be a fisherman because his dad was a fisherman. His brothers were fishermen. Everybody was a fisherman. The guys he hung out with, the Sons of Thunder, they were fishermen. Everybody's a fisherman. And so he's going, well, shall I fish this lake or shall I fish this lake? Shall I buy this boat or shall I buy that boat? Shall I hire these guys or fish with a pole or net, or what should I do? And forget all that, it's pineapple. By that, it's follow me and I'll make you a fisher of men. And so he went from, do I cast, you know, do I fish this part of the cove, or do I go out into the deep, and do I let down the net, or do I put in the pole, or what do I do? He went from that to no. On the day of Pentecost, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he went from there to a whole bunch of other things. Read the book of Acts. So that's what I shared, what we were talking about, what the Lord showed me. But while Matt was talking there about us, this is what the Lord said to me. This is why I said this. Is there people here this morning that your life right now, you're over here and you're dealing with A and B, and you're probably a little bit frustrated. And you keep dealing with A and B and C, and maybe you're getting up into the logarithms and the algorithms and things like that. But between now and the end of the summer, you're going to discover pineapple. And you're going to see that what God has for you is radically different than what you've been dealing with and what you've been thinking and what you've been doing. It's so different, what God has for you. It's pineapple. And so my admonition to you is open yourself up to what God would say. Because I can tell you this. Well, look, you don't have to be a brain surgeon to figure this out. A and B and algorithms and logarithms, they don't compare to the sweetness of pineapple. It's the truth. And I'm going to tell you something else about pineapple. I don't have any idea why you got these silly words, Kimberly, but I'm going with them. Pineapple's a little tropical. You know what I'm saying? Just think about that. Yeah. I mean, you just think of what's in that. There's this, you know. You know what I mean? So what I'm saying by all that is this. God has for you. The Spirit of the Lord is saying this to you this morning. That there are things for you that haven't entered into your mind. They haven't entered into your thought. But you got to be open. And just like your pastor this morning is challenging you. You got a part. You got a part. You got a part. God's got a part that's got your name on it. And he wants to show it to you. And this is what he said to me. By the end of the summer, you're going to see what he has for you. And it's for some of you in this room, it is radically different than what you've been thinking it was. Now, I can say this has happened in my own life. It certainly happened when I was about 30 years old. And it happened when I was 19. It happened again when I was 30. And it's happened recently in the last year. And it's the same thing. It's like, I never even thought of that. It never even came into my mind. I'm looking at Gary Platt. Gary Platt was in roofing, sold roofing materials for how many years, Gary? 30 years. And then the Lord dealt with him and said, no, you're going to be a chaplain in a hospital. Do you know how different that is? Chaplaincy program. He went through chaplaincy training. Now he heads up our care ministry, our pastoral care ministry here. That's radically different than getting up on a roof and selling shingles. Now, maybe it won't impact your life to that degree, but I'm just telling you, there are people in here. Be open. Don't be hard-headed. Don't be so stubborn and set in your ways. Be open to what God has for you, because it's so much sweeter. Your life will be so much better. You will be so much more fulfilled, and so much, there'll be more joy in your life. I'm just telling you, you'll be happier. So just even if you're doing it for selfish reasons, do it for that. But besides that, the plan of God, people will be saved. Souls will be, the harvest will come in. People will know the Father. There'll be more people in the family. There'll be more people at the great supper that we're going to share in heaven when we come together, finally, all together in one place. There'll be people there that are there because of you. Imagine that. There'll be people saved and delivered, just like we heard Ashley talk about. She laid hands on a man in her office. Where she probably wasn't even supposed to do that. I'm not going to tell on you. But according to the world's rules, you probably shouldn't have even done that. But she did, and prayed for this guy, and he was healed. How would you? I mean, that could be you. That should be you. That is you. You just maybe don't know it yet. And then Katrina praying with her two sisters and her brother-in-law. How'd you like to get your brother-in-law saved? That is you. Maybe you just don't know it yet. And that's just the beginning of the pineapple. There's a whole lot more.
Sermon title today, Pineapple. And I was just thinking how God has just orchestrated this today. And I believe it's no coincidence that we're ending the 90-day trust challenge today. I just think that was just part of the whole thing, because getting people in place, that's a big, when you get your finances in order, represents your heart. So I've got a challenge for you today. Close our service with this. And I don't want you just to do it to make a show. If you don't want to do it, that's, you know, it's up to you. But let's look over at Matthew 9. And I'm going to read some verses that have just really changed my life. And I believe that they'll change your and I've never heard anybody talk about this. And so it's just by revelation from the Holy Spirit here. But these verses, if you take them to heart, will change your life. Matthew 9, verse 35, I'm reading from the Amplified, says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and praying the good news, the gospel of the kingdom, and curing all kinds of disease and every weakness and infirmity. When he saw the throngs, he was moved with pity and sympathy for them." King James, New King James says compassion. "Because they were bewildered, harassed and distressed and dejected and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is indeed plentiful, but the laborers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest to force out and thrust laborers into the harvest.'" And remember on the day of Pentecost, they were forced out of that room. When they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, they were thrust out into the street. 3,000 people were saved. Uneducated men, just full of the Holy Spirit. And see, you got to get the focus off yourself and onto God. The pressure's not on you. Our job is to go. Our job is to step out. Our job is to be bold. And are we saying that we're going to witness to everybody? No. I believe it'll be like in Acts 3, John, Peter, they're going to the temple to pray. They see this guy begging at the gate called Beautiful. Did the, you know, normal thing they're doing every day. They walked by him before, but they felt led of the Holy Spirit. That's the key there. Led of the Holy Spirit, impressed on the inside to stop and to minister this man. He's asking for alms. They say, "Silver and gold I have none. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk." That's how it works. It's being led by the Spirit of God. But here's what I want you to do, what I'm asking you to do today. For the next 7 days until next Sunday morning, I want you to read these verses in Matthew 9. And then I want you, and again, it doesn't have to be long prayer, but I want you to pray and say, pray for the laborers to be thrust into the harvest field. And then to add this, "Lord, here am I, send me." Now, if you're willing to do that, and again, I don't want anybody going through the motions or just trying to please me or trying to look good, but everybody that agrees to do that and will do that for the next 7 days, I want you to come down front here. Again, you do it because the Holy Spirit's leading you to do it. Thank you, Lord. Whether you're a laborer or not, whether you prayed before or not, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this group here. I know that this will be a life-changing week, just like you spoke to me 4 summers ago and changed my life and have just turned me upside down and given me plans and ideas and divine connections and provision and so many different things in my life that you've done since I've started praying this verse, these verses here, Father. I'm asking in the name of Jesus, Lord, for that revelation to come. The same thing you did in my life will happen in their lives. Will begin this week. And they'll come in to service next Sunday ready to hear from heaven. So I thank you, Lord, I'll just show you how you do it right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you that you're the Lord of the harvest. We thank you, Lord, that you send forth laborers into the harvest field. Thrust them out. Force them out into the harvest field in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're doing our part. We're equipping. We're training. We're preparing to train up laborers to be thrust out. And also, Lord, I'm asking you for trainers that can train others. Fill this church with trainers that maybe can go to other churches and teach there, other places, and help. Maybe start their own groups, Father. Maybe even their own churches. Lord, give us strategies and plans and ideas to reach the lost. Give us strategies and plans to equip people in more effectively and efficiently. Father, I pray for divine connections all throughout the world with pastors and other believers in this I Give Life network, Father. And Lord, the goals that you've given us, I thank you, Father, they'll come to pass. They'll come to pass, and we'll go well over what you've shown us. So you order our steps, you lead us, you guide us. And then now, Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, I pray for us to be able to see the lost, to really see them, Lord, that we have a heart of compassion for people, and that we'll open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit to reach out and to give life. And as we do, the power of God will come upon us and give us the words, and people's eternities will be changed because we're there. We'll plant, we'll water, we'll sow seeds, you'll bring the increase. But we'll be Jesus in our world. So we endeavor, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, this week to go out and give life. Thank you for opportunities. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So what I'm asking you to do, if you miss a day, just pick it back up the next day. Read Matthew 9:35. Read those words. And then to pray them. And to pray them. And to speak them. 7 days. Can we do it?
Yes.
Amen. All right. You can head back to your seats.